Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicate our lives to this sport. We do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We attitude. We moody, and we go into that fight and to land on the line.
Football fans, the College Ball Show podcast is back. I'm Marshall. He's Chris. Just kidding. Just seeing if you're there. Actually, Marshall, my co-host, just made it in the last second. I was going to say, you know what, I'm going to have to be both today. I thought maybe he fell asleep or something, you know what I mean? But that would be only if he was over here on my couch that just passes him out no matter how much caffeine he has. We've definitely had our times where we're like, yeah, well, let's watch some big games. And then by, you know, the fourth quarter, he's sleeping. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, the College Ball Show is back. Just to be official, he's Marshall, I'm Chris, and we're here to talk everything that is college football. There's only three shows left, including this one. So we got one or two more after this. Of course, we're going to talk about the big semifinal matchups coming, you know, this weekend on Saturday. Number one Alabama versus number four Washington, and of course number two Clemson taking on number three Ohio State. Some interesting matchups, no doubt about it, especially the number two and three. You can make an argument for both. It'll be interesting if Washington can give Alabama a run. Not too many people at all, not too many teams at all have even given them a good run this year. A couple, Texas A&M, Ole Miss, there was some, but man, not many at all. I guess LSU as well, you'd have to throw them in there. So let's hope we can get two good games. Of course, we'll be talking about all the major marquee matchups as well. A lot of the New Year's Six bowl games. I think the USC Penn State game kind of stands out. So we're not gonna do a lot of recap because we're just getting into the meat and potatoes of the bowl season as it is. Not like there hasn't been some exciting games that have taken place. A couple that come to mind is the Appalachian State and Toledo. I remember that game, 31-28, Appalachian State pulled it out. That was kind of interesting and fun to watch. Our Raging Cajuns went down to Southern Miss, 28-21. That one hurt, man. I'm still not over that one, Marshall. I'm going to bring in my co-host in just a second. Also, BYU, I remember that last week. They snuck out a game 24-21 in Cougar fashion. We've been following BYU all year as far as them always being in tight-ass games and miracle endings or just close stuff, you know what I mean? That Navy-Louisiana Tech game, that was pretty good, 48-40. Louisiana Tech managed to escape with that one. So there has been some interesting games to an extent. Right now, we have a game North Texas in Army. I know that's a big one, for Marshall, because I know anything to do with Texas now, I'm sure he's going to, he's just going to jump on the bandwagon. So I'm sure he's like, man, do we have to do a game during Army in North Texas? My Minnesota Gophers face Washington State tonight, West Virginia, Miami tomorrow, and then the bowls start to pick up by Thursday. We got some interesting Arkansas and Virginia Tech, and especially Oklahoma State and Colorado. I'm really looking forward to that one. So Michigan, This was on Friday, Michigan and Florida State. Florida State finished the season much stronger than they started, that's for sure. But then we start to get in, like I said, the meat and potatoes and all the big, big games. And this year kind of makes sense to do it on as far as those semifinals. This year kind of makes sense to do them on the Saturday, New Year's Eve. I think they learned their lesson last year that they're not going to consistently do that just based off the ratings. And, you know, they're just, as of right now, they got to recoup the money they spent to broadcast these games. So, the way they talked about it after last year, they said that it probably wouldn't happen much more. But this year makes sense because you're not going to want to go head up with the NFL on Sunday. So it does make a little bit more sense. It's still, you know, something kind of strange that we all have to get used to. It's not like crazy to have bowl games on New Year's Eve, of course. You know, obviously New Year's Day, a lot of people think, and then the next couple days after that has been kind of known for all the big, big bowls. But it makes a lot more sense this year, no doubt about it. So still like an adjustment. They did move them up an hour. From last year, at least an hour. So, like I said, we're going to be breaking down a bunch of these important games and definitely the semifinals, like I said, the New Year's Six. An interesting matchup with Wisconsin and Western Michigan. Western Michigan, the only other unbeaten team in big-time college football, I guess you could say, along with Alabama. Some people think they should have gotten their shot. Kind of an interesting game with Oklahoma and Auburn. Of course, Auburn didn't really finish the season, you know, as strong as they wanted to, of course. So we're going to talk all about that, preview, debate, predict. And then, like I said, this is three shows left, this show for college football anyway. Then we'll do some sort of recap slash, you know, talking about the national championship game, predicting that, debating that and all. And then we'll have a post wrap up for college football. But then if you're into college basketball, that's why we call it the College Ball Show. Because if you're into college basketball and then later in the year, the NBA playoffs, you got to stay with us on a weekly basis as well, because we basically do a very similar show. It's just, you know, pertaining to college basketball instead of football. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host, Marshall. What's going on, Marshall, man? Did you have a good holiday season? And I did mention some games that have taken place. Pretty uneventful. We're trying to find a good place to, have a couple of days, several days before the national championship and be able to talk about some of these games coming up. How was the holiday season so far for you? And what stands out so far in this, you know, sea of bowls? I don't know. Is it up to like 42 of them now? I can't really keep track, man.
Well, for the holidays, Chris, it's been good. Speaking of old traditions of falling asleep on your couch, I look forward to having some chicken tortilla soup with you at Grand City on Thursday to reminisce our old days. So that'll be fun to see again, but. I also got a Dak Prescott jersey for my brother, and the Cowboys are looking good, and it looks like my buddy Ian, I reference a lot, is going to come down and visit me. We're going to try and find a way to sneak into the Cowboys' first-round playoff games, so that should be a very fun, exciting time.
Catch up.
Sure.
How is that rookie working out at running back? I remember we had some problems early in the year. I think the first two games you were talking about Ezekiel as if, you know, he didn't belong or whatever. But how's that working out there as a rookie running back? He's doing pretty good, isn't he? That offensive line is just ridiculous, dude. The Cowboys are looking strong.
He's not doing too bad,
dude.
Chris.
I think he's going to last. I think he has a job in this league, dude, or at least like part-time. You know, I think he could be like a thunder and lightning, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, I got a feeling come playoff time, you know, they might focus a little more on McFadden and Alfred Morris. It's kind of been a little bit of a coy all year by Garrett. But overall, Ezekiel Elliott's had a pretty nice season, actually. It's been very nice. I've been able to look past his unfortunate uprising with Urban Meyer, and I now see him as a Dallas Cowboys star running back who – I still think had one of the coolest touchdown celebrations ever, jumping in the Salvation Army bucket.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
And it's
that
raised a lot of money
too
for such a great foundation. That's a really cool story. So that is sweet. But yeah, you know,
just because the No Fun League didn't like it, I sure did, and everybody else did, I think.
And Dak, I mean, there was grumblings in Texas before that Tampa Bay game of people were starting to talk of. Well, God, the offense has been sputtering a little bit. Time to maybe think about bringing Romo. In the last two games, Dak Prescott looks like he's been playing quarterback for 6 years in the NFL. So things are looking good. It's looking good down in Texas for the Cowboys, and we'll see what happens. I'm just kind of hoping we stay away from Eli Manning because they're the only team that's beat us this year. And say what you want about Eli, where he'll have his four interception games. Come playoff time, he's kind of a pain in the ass to beat. So. We'll need to see. But yes, very happy with Ezekiel Elliott, and fingers crossed that Tyron Smith, who kind of got his leg rolled up on last night, is okay. So that was a little bit of a scary moment because you mentioned Elliott, and that offensive line together as a combo is one hell of a combination. So speaking of a great football team in the Cowboys, now I know, Chris, as you mentioned, you can't go backwards in time and start – eliminating bowl games because there is money involved, and even though we kind of laugh and joke at some of these bowl games, I mean, people do go and sponsorships are there. But it is sad to the point where we've now made it to where teams with five wins are basically recruited to come and play in these games. I mean, you know, I was thinking when we were getting ready for our show day, I'm like, there's really not been a great matchup yet. And not to discredit some teams like a Vanderbilt who hasn't had six wins in the last, you know, decade, or a team like, I don't know, Miami of Ohio or, you know, something. But it's just, what are we gaining from watching these teams with five wins play teams that are 6-6? You know, sadly, I see the situation probably continuing to go in the way of you mentioned of, well, God, in a couple of years we'll have 44 bowl games. Then we'll get up to 46. And it's like, you know, do we really want to see a 5-17 play a 5-17. I mean, I get on one hand, it is a major compliment to players to finish off possibly their career if they're seniors to play in a bowl game if maybe they never have, and they've taken their school from a garbage team to an accomplished team. But there still needs to be some precedent to where, you know, you should have a winning record or maybe at least have six wins. The five-win part is like, I'm sure it's fun, but, man, I don't really get up for watching, you know, Toledo play like, you know, SMU or something. It's strange, but oh well. As you mentioned, though, the good bowl games are coming, and it will improve as this week continues to carry over. But I hope they do put a stop to adding more bowl games because I don't know.
Yeah,
the
they
exact
gotta put a cap.
Six,
like you said,
yeah.
We're not going to get a lot less. We're not going to shrink it to 22 or nothing like that. But just stop it.
No,
you know what I mean. Just stop the number now.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that we had to make an exception for, well, we got to start bringing teams that are 5-7. It's like, did we really need to get to that point? You know, it's like those same people that, well, maybe for the March Madness it should be 100 teams. Well, no, because then you got teams that have under 500 records going to March Madness, and it kind of it kills the whole vibe and aura of the event. But
it would help my Gopher squad out, though. I'll tell you that they could get back to the big game.
You know, I kind of want to. We should have planned this out. We should have made plans to go to that game tonight because they're playing at the Barn against Izzo. I didn't really tie the dots together to that game tonight, but the journey down Hell's Road begins for your Golden Gophers tonight. And we
well,
and, and Chris,
you,
I got a few
a couple of teams that are down this year, so you know, hopefully. It could be like 4-5 through that stretch, or 5-4 or something. That'd be just amazing, because we do have a couple of teams. Ohio State and Michigan State are not what they've been anyway, as far as now in the non-conference. You know.
Sure. So, overall, you know, I'm with you. I just hope they put a cap to it. I would say, ignoring the issues off the field, which could be a whole show in itself, I do think that the Minnesota-Washington State game is finally one of those games where, even though, I mean, we're from here, if I was just a fan living in Texas who didn't know it, I mean, this is actually kind of a good-looking matchup for once. And Boise State still kind of has a little bit of that fairy tale name to it, who's had a very nice year, is playing a Baylor team who probably is going to come out flat, but maybe this would be a way for Baylor to finish the season on a good note and look past all the scrutiny. So we're finally now getting to the point of, all right, we can watch some games. These teams should have at least 8 or 9 wins on their record, my friend, and get a little more into the bowl season. So I'm getting excited. And like you, I do kind of like that Alabama and Lane Kiffin play at 2 o'clock because, you know, you're not too far into your night. If you're drinking at 2, good luck making it to when the ball drops.
But, exactly.
A 2 o'clock game is – I mean, God bless you. I'm not saying
and you
I won't
tend
try
to
that,
go out
but,
a little later on New Year's anyway, you know.
Yeah. So the 2 o'clock start, it is early in a way, but it's also like, oh, okay. So, and I do like the fact that they put Bama first. I know it was kind of based on geographical situation, but also I think the game after should be a more competitive game. So overall, I mean, here we go, Chris. Let's not talk about the stuff going on outside the field, but I think tonight, as you mentioned, your Golden Gophers, who've had a season of wins that they have not had for a while, had a productive season, face a Washington State team that they're going to try and throw the ball and you probably like 63 passes tonight. So what are you hoping for to see from your team? Do you think distractions will hurt them? And are the Gophers a team that can play in a shootout mentality? Because basically, for as long as I've known you, as long as I've watched the Gophers play, they like kind of like to run the ball. So we have a team that would throw the ball 65 times a game versus a team that would like to run the ball 40 times a game. What's kind of your take on the game tonight, buddy?
Well, and the Washington State quarterback did say he's coming back for his senior year, so I think that's a good decision for him as well. Just a little side note, and you know,
sure,
we don't have to really cover the outside stuff because if you know, without getting into too graphic detail, I did mention it several times throughout the year because the as we know, this has gone back to September, this thing, when the cops
True.
Were actually investigating it and all that. We really don't have to cover too much of that as far as, you know, it is what it is. You know, there actually still is more appeal process, and we'll see, especially for the guys that, you know, weren't there that night. There's a couple of that weren't there, so we'll see how that works out. But I don't know how it couldn't be a distraction. Of course, the distraction has been there for 5 of them anyway, or 4 of them, and then it kind of turned into 5 of them, actually. So I don't know about that part. The problem is it'll be going back to a couple of those, well, 4 of those games this year where 2 of the top 3 cornerbacks will be out. So that'll be an issue. You know, if you're pacing it, like you said, a guy in a system itself, that's they're going to slang the ball around. I mean, 60 passes, they'll hit that, I'd say, fairly easy. I guess unless it's like a blowout, then I guess they could run the ball a little bit more, but I doubt it. You know, they're going to hit 60 pretty easy. I mean, even like 38 to 70 wouldn't be the craziest thing out of them. As funny as that sounds, it's pretty funny how that works. It's almost like, you know, pass attempts, especially in the pros now, Marshall, it's almost like the 3-point shooting in the NBA. The numbers just keep going up, you know, and you just keep seeing,
cool,
like, holy cow, like, it wasn't the most shocking thing to see 50 and 60 attempts in college because, you know, as we know, some people just always are in 4 or 5 wide receiver sets and they're always like that and they spread it out. But to see that come into the program now, that is kind of strange. So, yeah, I think that's going to be a major issue when 2 out of your 3 cornerbacks are out. We saw it against Ohio State, but we really saw it against Penn State because they can run the ball pretty well, but they really pass the ball very, very, very well. And they actually showed that against a great team like Wisconsin, a great defense anyway like Wisconsin. So I do think that'll be an issue, Marshall. I don't see how it couldn't be. Distraction, to an extent, but I think they've dealt with it all year, you know, most of the year, because it was the first – this whole thing took place after the first game of the year. So I don't know if it's the complete distraction, but – it's just the two starting players in the secondary. I think that'll be
sure.
a problem, no doubt about it. I'm also looking forward to a team that or a game tomorrow, Marshall. That, like I said, Miami, West Virginia, that could be interesting. Kansas State, A&M, that could be interesting. But from a hardcore perspective, Northwestern at Pitt really does a lot for me. Arkansas, Virginia Tech is a quality game. That might come down to a fourth quarter, you know, game still on the table. And also Oklahoma State and Colorado, man. I'm really looking forward to that. So like you said, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we're really starting to we're starting to get into the thick of some of these games. But that Pitt Northwestern game potentially could be good, man. I think it's the Pinstripe Bowl in New York City. So at least both teams will be accustomed to playing outside in the cold weather. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and Pitt's kind of just a fun team to watch. I think they've been averaging almost like 40 points a game, or their over-unders have been like going over 70 for their last like five or six games. And I know that Northwestern's a little more of a defensive-based team, but, I mean, there's a reason Pitt wins their games 45-48 because they can't stop someone else either. So that should be a pretty fun one. And I think your Hurricanes win because, like I said, the couple of big games West Virginia had this year, they let people down. Now, they did kind of mop up the teams they were supposed to beat, but I think your Hurricanes will get a W, and I think it kind of goes to show that, no offense to your boys, but they're unranked, and West Virginia is ranked 16th, and you guys are the favorite. So, and by a field goal or 2.5.
Yeah, that is kind of strange.
Yeah, you know, and I think the thing for West Virginia is just, you know, they had
a
good chance to beat Oklahoma, and they let it down. And they came out against Oklahoma State and let it down. And then they got a win, but you finish your year beating Baylor by 3, who is in train wreck mode. So I'll be curious
right.
to see if the preparation is there for them, just because they haven't really played a great game when needed. And again, you know, a lot of bowl games is about finishing year on a good note. This could be a positive way to go into the postseason. But, yeah, when you're a ranked team and Vegas says, we're making you a dog, that should be some motivation, Chris, to get up and try and go against your Hurricanes. It's kind of a slap in the face if you're ranked and you're an underdog playing a team that's not ranked. So I'm with you. That could be kind
yeah,
of a fun game.
Yeah, you'd think that they'd have at least a little bit of advantage. I know that the location could play into it as far as the – you know, being a slight favorite maybe, but not
sure.
for Miami. Like you said, the other way around, I could see how that would cut down the point spread a little bit, but it is kind of surprising. And you're right. I mean, you go back to that Oklahoma game and you look at the rushing yards that West Virginia had in that ball game, and I'd make a guess that, or not a, well, a guess in I'd for the future too, a prediction that they probably haven't lost a game where they've rushed for over 300 yards, and they probably won't in the future. That was kind of surprising, but you're right. They never quite, I don't know. They seemed like they had kind of really come together as a team. We always were talking about them offense, but the way they came together, at least, you know, it looked like midseason, that defense really looked like it had turned the page. So, it'll be interesting to see what pertains there. And like you said, Pitt has really picked it up. And Northwestern kind of had a choppy start, too, and they actually picked it up and had some close games. A&M, pretty decent to quality team. They had their ups and downs this
yeah.
year. You know, they started up really good. Well, if you look at it, this is another example of, you know, every time that first ranking comes out, we say two of the four teams just take them out of the rankings usually because they usually get knocked out, like, if not that next week. And that's exactly what happened to A&M. And as we know, we talk about Kansas State to an extent maybe not in the last couple of years as much as we did kind of midway and early when we started this this podcast, but they're always going to be coached up, and especially when you have this extra time, and maybe that's what they have to do. Like, maybe they should just give everyone practice time, like practice sessions for call it, you know, instead of having to make a bowl game to be able to do that. And maybe that would, and then we could still eliminate stuff. I don't know. It just, I see the benefits, no doubt about it. And like you said, the sponsors are there and this, that, and the other. But sometimes, man, you look in the crowd and you're just like, dude, it's like half full. You know what I mean? It's like, it's
if
just
even,
not,
yeah.
Yeah, if even, exactly. So, but kind of closing out Wednesday, that looks to be pretty good. I really don't know what to expect from Indiana. I feel like Indiana at times can play with the big boys and has proven that they can in the last 2 years. They've gotten over the hump a little bit, but not enough to where you're really going to say, oh, I think they beat Utah for sure. But Utah, they're pretty solid this year. They should win the game, but hopefully we can get some entertainment out of that. What do you think? I mean, this is kind of the first big game that we can break down and maybe predict a little bit. Oklahoma State, Colorado, this has got that throwback Big 12 appeal to it. Oklahoma State, you know, they don't have a problem. Speaking of chucking the ball all the way around the field, they don't have a problem with that. Washington and Rudolph, that combination these last 2 years, Mason Rudolph, it's been fun to watch. And big, big numbers by Washington almost every single solitary game. And then you have Colorado. So they've already arrived and have arrived for quite some time. Damn, you know, damn near won the national championship or got in to the national championship a handful of years ago. Now it's not that far ago, but it doesn't seem that long ago, but it actually is kind of a while ago since Iowa State upset them and knocked them out. I think they played Stanford in that other bowl game. It was still a great game. I remember that game. But Colorado now on the up and up. They got the quarterback to stay healthy pretty much all year. He actually bounced back, whereas last year he was hurt a fair amount, but he come back when he did get hurt, maybe not in those games, but, you know, kept coming back throughout the season, no doubt about it. He did get hurt in that Michigan game in September. Ended up being healthy for quite some time. Did get hurt in his last game as well, hopefully. And that's another thing. Sometimes with this gaps, you start to get some people healthy, and you can – I'm not going to say have new teams, Marshall, but you can face a team where you're like, wow, man, they got like three new starters this – you know, this – or not new, but starters that were there before. Sometimes that happens. And also – sometimes with the gap, because after all, we kind of forget that they are students and they have to do finals. Sometimes it lends itself to ugly play in some of these games in the first quarter. I think that's been an ongoing thing because, you know, you're just getting the cobwebs out a little bit. And I've noticed other times, just to kind of preview these games in general, I'll get your take on Oklahoma State and Colorado in a second. Another thing about the bowl season is sometimes you have too many days to play. And I don't mean play like party. I mean play – well, I'm sure that, you know, of course, the students are doing that as well, the athletes, of course. But, like, play around with – making too many plays, you know, you can maybe fine tune some of the playbook that you weren't able to get to, actually perfect it, but you can also bring in too many plays. I remember years ago, in fact, the last time the Miami Hurricanes won 10 games, they were playing LSU, and this is the time when the Hurricanes had Devin Hester. So they wanted to, and he was playing cornerback. He was playing wide receiver too, but he played cornerback for them there his last year. But, of course, a return guy, no doubt about that. But they had him with all these funky plays, Marshall, and it was like, dude, they're just eating this up. Like, stop. You had too much time to fiddle, and I know these offensive coordinators, they're geniuses, and they get into the laboratory and they get their beakers boiling, and they're going to craft up all these plays, and you're like, dude, just stick to what we're good at, like calm down. And I remember that. In fact, I remember that LSU butt whipping that they put on Miami. That was kind of a signal that the SEC is a couple of years away, and LSU as well, from starting to take over. And obviously they did after USC and Texas won. Then they went on a big, big, big run. But what do you think about Oklahoma State and Colorado? Like I said, it has that Big 12 old school throwback. I'm not going to say rivalry, but they're both in the Big 12 at the same time. Oklahoma State, they want to chuck the ball around a little bit more, whereas they still are kind of run-oriented at Colorado. Not that they can't throw it around, but, you know, they like to run the ball because they got that dual threat. How do you see this matchup playing out, man? It should be a pretty good matchup.
I'll take Colorado, Chris, just because I think that their mindset is, you know, we're still trying to finish what is a very incredible year for us. I mean, defensively, they really have not had a very poor defensive game. And I guess you kind of take shots at the second half of USC and Michigan, but those are two of the best offenses in the country. And for Oklahoma State, I mean, I'm trying to think the last time they actually won a big game. They never seem to beat Oklahoma when they need to, and whenever they go into a big bowl game, they normally lose it too. So I just think that you have a trend with Oklahoma State, which I'll stick with, that they seem to struggle in huge game opportunities. And Colorado is just kind of on a mission this year to finish what you were a top 10 team basically to finish the season, which I don't believe many people at the start of the year, Chris, predicted that Colorado would have a chance of winning the title this year. And they came within a game against Washington of possibly making the Final Four. So I guess maybe I'm discrediting what Oklahoma State did this year, but I've seen that routine so often from them, and they normally seem to let it down in a big game matter. And I just think Colorado's done too much well this year, and that defense is too strong, because, you know, Oklahoma State's offense is pretty good, and I would say they're probably a little bit better than Colorado. But I would say the difference of Oklahoma State's defense compared to Colorado's pretty wide margin. So that's why I like Colorado to win that game, Chris, and I'll take them with the -3. I think that's kind of just a basic line, I guess, to give a better team, but I would think they should be favored by more.
Yeah, I mean, as long as they don't get behind to a team like that early on some mistake-driven stuff, or maybe they just are rusty and they don't come out. You know, maybe they stop the run for a little bit and then something breaks out and then they start to score. But because obviously Oklahoma State can throw up the points. But, you know, we've seen them, I'm not going to say consistently, you know, give up big leads like, let's say, the Timberwolves or something like that. But they've given up some leads that we've seen where you're like, oh, wow, they're up 21-7 or 28-10. And then because they're such an offensive juggernaut and they don't always have great defense play, it kind of catches up with them. And like you said, same coaching staff are a good chunk of it. And I kind of agree with you. I think Colorado still feels they got to – I'm looking for them to bounce back off of that, I'd have to say, poor showing to an extent. If you look at the scoreboard at the end of it, maybe early on the game is closer than the score – leads you to believe, but I agree. I think that they're still feeling the buzz of being a team that got some love in a program that, as we know, hasn't had much to speak of. I mean, really, since the 90s. I mean, the only thing we brought up Colorado is two things. They got kicked out of the Big 12, right, and then they went to Pac-12. And then also that female kicker, you know, that's about it. That female kicker that was there, I remember there was like a lawsuit or one of the coaches did not treat her that well or whatever. And I know there was, of course, you know, just like in the Army, in the military, I guess, in general, when you get, you know, a bunch of dudes and then some females around, things unfortunately happen with that as well. So they haven't had a lot of good things to talk about. Nothing really positive as well, but man, they've done well, and you could tell that that fan base was definitely kind of infused with energy again. You could hear it when you'd, you know, it was kind of nice to have that stadium. I watched the game there years ago, and it just, I don't know, it was energetic. It's not a huge stadium by any, you know, stretch of the imagination. It's not going to put up 80,000 people or anything like that, but I don't know, there was just all a lot of energy. And also when they have that buffalo running out at the start, that was always a cool thing. And like I said, I had a starter jacket for the Colorado Buffaloes in the 90s, and I was going for them when they were trying to beat Notre Dame that second year. So I agree. I agree with you. I think Colorado will get that. I still think that, that 11th win would be a huge, huge, huge deal for them.
Mm-hmm.
Some games coming up, you know, UNC and Stanford weren't really the teams that they've been, especially Stanford, although they did finish respectfully, I thought. They definitely got their things together a little bit and said, all right, we got to at least go and get 8 or 9 wins. You know, let's finish the season strong. That could be interesting. I really don't know what to think of Nebraska and Tennessee. It's kind of crazy that these two teams, if you look at maybe 5-6 weeks into the season, and then now it's kind of like, I don't know, the legs have come out underneath them. You know, it's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of a strange matchup there. Of course, Big Ten SEC, it's not that strange off of that. But I don't know, it's one of those, it's kind of like what could have been type seasons in some of these tight games. Of course, Tennessee got a lot of tight games that they won early too. So I guess we can't sit there and say, oh, they lost some tight games when they actually won some really, you know, some miracle stuff there. But the biggest game off of Friday would definitely be Michigan and Florida State. Let's talk about that one, and then let's get into USC. Let's get into Penn State.
Okay.
And some of the bigger ones before we get to the semifinals.
Oh, one quick note, Chris. For that Georgia TCU, the game is a pick 'em. One of the podcasts I listened to, a guy that Chris Vernon hosts a podcast, and his friend came on and said he thinks Georgia should be a 10-point favorite. He's an odds maker from Vegas and said Georgia should be a 10-point favorite, and that game is a pick 'em. So if you're looking for maybe a game to bet with your buddies, take Georgia, because at least from this guy, he feels that Georgia should be a heavy favorite, and Vegas has them as an even draw. So kind of a little perspective there just to throw in before you touch on the Michigan game.
Yeah, that's a good call. That's a good call. You know, the Michigan-Florida State game, to me, although I respect, you know, I remember saying – in fact, I remember it was I think it was after that Clemson game. And, of course, the Miami game was rough on the quarterback. And pretty much, I'd say probably 7 to 8 games were extremely rough on Francois. And the rest were pretty rough.
mm-hmm.
But Florida State, I remember them saying after that Clemson game, because he was complaining, Jimbo Fisher, the head coach for Florida State, was complaining that his quarterback was taking too many hits. I suggested he talk to his offensive line coach. But I said, you know, calm down, dude. You're going to be 9-3. You know, like, so what? Just admit you're 9-3 this year. And this was, you know, this was after the Clemson game. So they still had a little bit of meat on the bone to finish up. They still had to finish their season to an extent, and they did. They did. I'll give them credit for that. Sometimes, especially in like Oregon, you know, they did not fall off. You know, the wheels didn't come off all the way when you're looking at 9-3. Yeah, it's underachieving from the last 3 to 4 years, no doubt about it, but I thought they finished strong. That 11, you know, you see number 6, number 11, but they're probably not the 11th best team in the country. Although you could favor them you know, they I shouldn't say favor them, but they could beat some of these teams. They could beat Michigan. And you wonder if they've come up with some protection packages in these 13 to 15 practices. You know what I mean? I mean, for Francois' hope, I guess so. He's probably just been in a like ice tub, hot tub, ice tub, hot tub. That's probably what Francois's been doing like this whole friggin' time.
Probably so.
He did. I mean, like I mentioned with the Vikings these last couple of years, and see the combination of Bridgeford and Bradford getting hit. I've seen a lot of quarterback hits, but still the Francois, and they do allow you to get away with a cleaner hit on a quarterback in college, so that maybe plays into it a little bit more. But
100%.
I just don't know. That 11, like I said, that 11 seems a little overvalued at this point, to be honest with you. Michigan is a 6.5-point favorite. It's the Orange Bowl, right? This is the Orange Bowl. So I guess that makes sense because they are in their home state of Florida. They're not from Miami, obviously, but it's not that crazy of a drive. And we know Florida State and a lot of Southern teams tend to travel very, very well. So I'm going to go with Michigan in this one. I just think that defense, Marshall, is just going to be too much for Florida State to handle and keep Francois, you know, keep his jersey clean. I just don't see it.
Yeah, I mean, I think the best thing Francois can do is give the ball to that beautiful running back he has on his team and Cook that is a stud. But as you mentioned, is he going to be able to run against a Michigan defense who I would say had a pretty darn good season? The games where Michigan did struggle this year, Chris, I wouldn't really put on the defense. And when I say struggle, they had a very nice season. It was more of offensive issues per se with the quarterbacks. So, yeah, I guess the key is, that can you find a way to run the ball on Michigan's defense with Cook? Now, is there a better running back in the country? I mean, that's quite debatable too. So maybe I'd expect a lower scoring game. In the close games that Michigan did play to finish up the year, their offense really didn't do much. The Iowa game was very close and low scoring. Ohio State was a very low scoring game. Michigan really seemed to drop the numbers only against teams that they kind of took advantage of at the start of the year. So, but also you also an angle to look at is how good a coach is, and Harbaugh's obviously, I would say, probably a more superior coach than Fisher. So, I'm with you, Chris. I'll lean. Oh man, I'm going to take Florida State with the 7. I think Florida State keeps it close, just because I think that they'll be able to have some type of game plan. But I'll go against.
So you think Michigan will win the game, but you'll think they'll cover? Or I mean,
yeah,
you think Florida State will?
Yeah, I got Michigan winning by like a field goal, but I would take Florida State to cover, just because I think that they'll and Florida State's defense. To comment on this, that we can go to another game, my friend. They made a lot of progress because at the start of the year, that defense was garbage,
yeah.
And I guess that's definitely kind of what Fisher is known for. I believe he was a defensive guy under Bowden, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think he took
the offense
with it. Because,
he's offense guy, actually. He's offensive guy.
Oh, sorry. No, you're right. That was wrong on me. But nonetheless, he improved that defense because at the start of the year, that defense was absolutely miserable. So, yeah, I'll take Florida State to cover, and I'll take Michigan kicking a last-second field goal to play out in that game. And if Cook can go off, you know, we'll see. But as we mentioned, poor Francois. Now that he's finally healed, he's like, guys, just give me one good game so I can kind of, you know, go back to looking for girls, not having to spend another month in my bed recovering from
right.
Body bruises. Because I remember one show I started off the show with was saying, my God, Chris, I haven't seen a quarterback that gets his ass kicked more than Francois. And in another show this year, you kind of started off the show with that too. And we watch a lot of games,
yeah.
And I know quarterbacks take hits, but there were some games where it's like, dude, just stay down. Let the backup come in, take
yeah,
some water,
kidding.
Sit down on the bench for a little bit, and go back in the second half. But stop taking these shots and getting up. You're really punishing yourself. I know you never want to a quizzing athlete, but my God, that, I guess that kid just has too much heart. But yeah, that should be a pretty fun game to watch, buddy.
Yeah, I agree. I could see that being kind of a low scoring, like somewhere in the 20s, and maybe someone gets to 30, but I doubt it. I would say that'll be somewhere in the 20s. There is some other games that I'll just talk about for a second. LSU and Louisville. Louisville definitely stuttered down the stretch to think that they finished 9-3. And LSU got off to a bad start, got a little better, then kind of stumbled as well. They were 7-4. They never did get a chance to play all 12 games there. Auburn, Oklahoma, you know, if Auburn hadn't closed kind of mediocre, I would be a lot more excited about this game. But you never know. You never know. I'm really interested to see how that Western Michigan University does against a Wisconsin defense that, as we know, is very, very solid. So that could be interesting, number 15, West Virginia, against number 8, Wisconsin. Before we get to Bama in Washington and Clemson, Ohio State, what do you think about this one? Number 5, Penn State against number 9, USC. Talk about improving teams. You could point to both of these teams and say, yep, if you look at the beginning of the year and the end of the year, these two by far, I think, were the most improved teams as the season developed.
Absolutely. I mean, you had a USC team who I can speak more of just because that's kind of a team I root for and watch more closely. Had a quarterback that wasn't the right fix. And then you bring in Sam Darnold, who, to me, and call me a homer, the kid looks like he's a junior. he's got the skills of a junior quarterback. I mean, just some of the plays and games where he would –
like
break
junior college,
exactly,
or what
complete.
Do you mean junior year?
Wait, the experience of
this
a
one's a short one today, so I got to get my shots in. Sorry,
I know. So he's blown me out of the water. That guy's had a tremendous season, and for once, I'll keep this short so we can get going. But it's been nice to see a USC team that plays under control. My biggest issue with USC over the years was you get into a big game and you get 2 or 3 personal fouls, and you have like 15 penalties. Well, all that shit kind of got cleaned up. And we have a coach that is more under control, has the system rolling right, because USC's always had the talent, but making them play as a team is something they've done this year. And with a freshman star quarterback, it's been a very nice year. Penn State, though, like you mentioned, Bud, they find a much better resume. They beat Ohio State, and they won the Big Ten conference here, which was the best conference in the year. For my pick, I like USC to win. I think that USC's defense has been rock solid this whole season. Basically, Penn State's offense appears to be deep passes and exploiting people for kind of big plays. And USC really hasn't given them many big plays this year. I mean, I know obviously in college, or every defensive back might have a play where he falls down or sleepwalks a little bit. But I think with USC's front four, that's been pretty solid this year, and I'll let them try to go deep on our coverage, because I don't see Penn State's defense slowing USC down for the entire game. Obviously, I am biased in this, but I would put money on USC in general. I just think they're a slightly better team, and if you can limit Penn State's like 50-yard touchdown passes, which they used to kill Wisconsin in that comeback, I like the Trojans finishing off a very, very nice season, and it looks promising going into next year for USC and Coach Helton.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think the fact that what they did to Washington tells me a lot, and even Colorado as well, they managed to keep them to, what was it, 17 points, 21-7. So they've now shown that they can play that grinded-out game, but they can also put points on the board as well. So I think it'll be a good game. I also think that having Penn State gone through the season they are, we could sit there and say it's not quite Colorado, you know, but they're on the up and up, you know, no doubt about it. Penn State's now recovered from that, you know, horrible time where they lost all that scholarships and the trust of the people and the money. Well, I guess the trust of, you know, I mean, I guess people, you know, it is what it is, but it's always different when you're talking about, like, you know, when players get in trouble partying or when players get in trouble doing stuff or a college player gets, like, you know, money from a booster or even a coach, keeping that information quiet, you know, the minor violations, that's one thing. But when we're talking about this Baylor stuff and Penn State stuff where the coach and you got into the athletic director, you got into all this stuff, it, that's where it just gets ugly. So it's, it is a little different there. But they, I got to say, Penn State, man, they really had a turnaround. But USC, I think the fact, though, that they were knocking on the door, there could be some disappointment, which leads to what? Does it lead to a flat performance like we've talked about and mentioned and many experts talk about, and you see every single year that there are going to be a couple teams, you know, that will do that? Or is this still new? I mean, if you think about their team, Marshall, it's not like a bunch of them have been to a bunch of ball games either, or at least quality bowl. I mean,
true.
Definitely not a Rose Bowl, you know what I mean? So I think that it's not all the way disappointment. I still think that they can hold their head on, hey, we did beat Ohio State. You know what I mean? We just beat Wisconsin. We came back from, what was it, 28-10 or 28-7. So
I
think both of these teams walk in here with a chip on their shoulder, and that's why I think it'll be definitely a game that'll come down to the wire, and I'd say whoever has it last has a good chance of either, you know, scoring or they're in victory formation, because the defense caused a turnover or turned over on downs on a fourth and long or something like that. But I do like USC as well. Let's fast forward. I'll give them to you both because I know we got a shortened show today. I mean, Bama-Washington. Washington needs to put up points, I'd say even in the first quarter, Marshall. I really think that's important to get on the board. And not just get on the board with the field goal or something like that. I think within the first quarter and a half, they got to get in that end zone to feel good about it. Speaking of plays added to a playbook or refined and perfected, I could see some of that coming out of that Washington, you know, side. I really could. And you could see that preparation of, okay, this is a bigger game here in the Pac-12. Championship. Well, how did they perform? Very well. Obviously, their coach knows how to perfect that layoff time here for the Bulls because, you know, as we know, Boise State went against the big boys. So we'll start with Alabama, Washington, and then let's talk Ohio State and Clemson as well, because obviously that is the one that I feel like a lot of people are more anticipating because they feel like it's going to be closer, not to take credit away from Washington.
Sure, absolutely, Chris. I guess what scares me for Washington, when I just kind of think of the season they had offensively, I just envision so many highlights of the quarterback running around and finding an open guy, you know, lining up in four wide receiver sets. It's like, okay, that is an efficient offense. I'd take nothing away from a quarterback that had a 42 touchdown passes and a Pac-12 record. But if you go four wide against Bama, I mean, you better pray if Brownie has the game of his life, because this is an offensive line that got pretty much manhandled by USC, and USC's defense is good, but it ain't Bama. So if your offense is, you know, predicates on a very efficient quarterback, and at times, and they do run the ball well, as you mentioned throughout the year, Chris, but, you know, they're kind of a spread out wide and let's show Browning's arm off. If you do that too much against, you know, Bama, you're going to get Browning killed. So I guess you have to kind of solve the mystery, Chris, that very few teams have this year, of try to find a way to score against Bama. And the other point I mentioned, what I'm thinking of, is if you do go four wide the whole game and try to turn the game into a shootout, it's going to be tough. So, I would do the best.
Is it 14 points?
Browning.
It's a 14-point spread. That's what Alabama's favored.
Yeah, I would take Bama just because that defense really has not had an off game. And they did have a bad game against Ole Miss. They came back to win. I just, with giving Saban this much time, I mean, as much as we discuss how, okay, well, Peterson has time to prep, and as you mentioned, Boise State, the guy knows what he's doing, and rightfully so, you can say the same for Nick Saban, saying, all right, guys, if they go four wide on us, we're going to smoke their quarterback. And if they want to try and run on us, well, we'll bring on seven in the box. So I don't know what the hell the answer is, Chris.
So don't worry about it.
No, I mean, they didn't give up a touchdown in the month of November. They didn't allow a touchdown in the month of November. How are you supposed to beat a defense that did that? I don't care who the heck you play. I think they had one non-conference game there against some slumping joke of a team. But the other games were SEC opponents. Like, freaking good luck. But I would just venture towards trying to keep Browning on his feet with the chance to make passes and not so much do the out wide and fling the ball. Because when you fling the ball against Bama, you're either going to get your quarterback killed or he's going to start throwing picks. And that's what that team feeds off of, what they had their incredible run of 12 or 13 games in a row with a defense or a special teams touchdown. I would bet someone, I would bet a friend of mine that in that game that Bama will get a touchdown on defense or special teams. And in most ways, that would sound like a crazy bet, but for this game, I would expect that to occur for Bama and Mr. Lane Kiffin, who is departing at the end of the season to go be the Florida Atlantic coach that I will now have to support and mention on our show next year for our college ball show. Which I know,
yeah, I think,
I know you brings a smile to your face, Chris.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's a lot better than Bama, I'll tell you that, or LSU would have been, or so. I think it's better. I think it's definitely better.
Do you know anything
but
about Florida Atlantic?
I do to an extent. And one of the things, he's going to be able to recruit there, actually, because he knows Florida
pretty well.
But it is kind of nice that he actually has to take the hard road and not just get jobs. Like, oh, here's a quality job in the SEC. Oh, here's the USC job. Nope. He has to do it like most people have to do it. And start at a mid-major, and this is even lower than a mid-major. It's probably right around that. But I think Gaskin and Ross, they got to run the ball. Like you mentioned, they got a guy that has 1,300 yards, so he can run the ball. But I'm talking about getting them 70 yards or 66 yards or something. They have to be able to run the ball. And then Ross, to be able to, that wide receiver, they got to be able to have him run as well once in a while and just find – don't do the Devin Hester thing that I mentioned earlier where you were too tricky, especially against this defense.
Yeah.
But I think they got to find a way to get Ross in space, even if it's 8 yards at a time. I think that'll be key. Real quick before we get out of here, number two, Clemson, 12-1 against Ohio State. That's 11-1, number three. Ohio State just barely – they are up. It's three. I thought it was closer to that. Well, that's still a close spread, but I actually thought it was more closer to even. Ohio State is the 3-point favor. How do you like this one here, man?
I go back and forth on this, Chris. I think that this year that Clemson has more talent on the field, but when can you ever pick against Urban Meyer in a big game? I mean, the last time he played in the Final Four, he took care of Bama. And who's the last time, when's the last time someone did that? So it's just in a weird position because you normally don't look at it from that perspective of, well, the better team's going to win. But the other team's coach doesn't ever seem to lose a big game. And I don't like the guy, but you got to pay him respect because he always gets his team up for it. So my analysis isn't so much on the field. I just think that it's really hard to pick against Urban Meyer. I would say that the offense
as much
wasn't
as you want
super
to
flash. I mean, I'm going to take Ohio State. If Clemson wins by 14, I'd be like, damn it, I should have just went with, you know, the on-field presence. But, man, he every freaking game they get up for, and whether it was last year against Notre Dame or when they won the title a couple of years ago and knocked out Bama, which no one can seem to do, I mean, just tell me a time where this guy doesn't have his boys prepped and ready to go. Again, I should probably give a more on-field based answer, but it's just his track record speaks for himself. So, what's your take on the game? Who do you like to come out victorious in this matchup, Chris?
I think there are some similarities where we only saw the best team a couple of times. I think you can make an argument Ohio State. Well, I guess you could say against Nebraska because they did blow them out. But I think that Oklahoma, that first game, it looked like they were going to be able to air it out even more. That's not the case. They haven't been able to protect the quarterback. And at times the quarterback, you know, a lot has been made about Barrett and how he's not having as great a year as people thought. But the guy does have 24 touchdowns in the air, 9 on the ground, has only thrown 5 picks. They just haven't lit it up deep. I think that's the big difference. And obviously Watson with Williams and company, Leggett. I mean, he has more experience, more polished weapons. So that does kind of – and that front seven, especially the defensive line, they've really done well at Clemson on the defensive line, developing guys over and over and over again. And both of these guys at the beginning were young teams, both these teams, I should say. They were not guys. Both these programs were young. They had lost the last, you know, some talent in the last 2 years of success. And I don't know. This one, like you said, dude, I'm going back and forth on this. I'm really going back and forth on this one, but my gut tells me Ohio State, it's almost like they got a little time to shut it down and regroup and maybe come out like they did gangbusters, maybe not quite that much against Oklahoma, but the way they looked opening night compared to what they do now, or maybe that was that opening night or was that the second game of the season for them? I can't remember. But I like that spread. I think it'll be a tight, tight game. It should come down to the wire. Like I said, Clemson, if you look at their last 5-6 games, they just haven't shown me a ton of consistency. Same could be said about Ohio State, though, and that's what makes this thing really interesting. I think Clemson's best performance maybe was against Louisville. And you can make an argument if that wide receiver doesn't step out of bounds that they would have lost that game. You know what I mean? So, I don't know, man. I'm going back and forth. But I think Ohio State is going to find a way to get it done. But Ohio State's offensive line really has to show up. And otherwise, they're going to have problems. Because that front seven, especially that defensive line, is pretty good. But I'm going Ohio State, and I don't mind that field goal 4 or 5 point range. I think Ohio State will get it done as well, and we'll have yet another big matchup in the national championship with big fan bases, Ohio State and Bama, and obviously a throwback to the SEC, and like you mentioned 2 years ago with Urban Meyer and Nick Saban. I think a lot of people will go, okay, he's got a chance because of Saban or because of Meyer, but not just that. I like this new setup because now the national championship game, Marshall, it doesn't take that quarter to get the rust off because it's only, you know, a week later or 9 days later, however they do it over the years. But I think that's key, too, to make the – sometimes that national championship game would take a while to warm up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, I remember especially like the the Florida State. Florida State when they were playing
Auburn?
I can't remember, buddy, but yeah. I remember the first half of that game, you're like, dude, this is the national title game. Like, these teams look pretty kind of sluggish. And I remember through the years doing our shows, we've had times where it's like, dude, you got to wait like 9 days to play in the national champion. So you're right, it is better. And everything kind of works out nicely this year due to holidays and basically NFL and college football, where Sundays are main days of holidays. So the scheduling is in the favor of the players. I'm with you. I think we're kind of on the same page of – I know for me, Chris, just for Clemson, you know, I think the national media idea is that they are kind of the same team as last year. And, again, I don't follow Clemson as closely as I do other teams, but – just some of the scores they had in some of their games, it's like I remember Clemson's defense last year being kind of stout. And a Clemson defense last year wouldn't have given up, like, you know, 55 points to Pittsburgh or had some of these games or I don't recall last year where Deshaun Watson threw the ball 72 times and that was, like, part of the offense, you know. So to take nothing away from Clemson, I mean, they still have had a very tremendous season, but enough of weakness for Meyer to plot out a couple of mistakes to take advantage of them from that point on, Chris.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think their defense as a whole is as good, but their offense, and I don't know if because of the when your defense is better, sometimes you get the ball back more or interceptions and turnovers and all that. I don't think their offense has scored as many points, but they can spread it all around. But like you said, maybe they're stuck on spreading it all around too much instead of getting it to Gallium and going back to that run game as well. And I know that, you know, Watson was banged up on the shoulder, so they wanted him to run less, and he ran considerably less this year. That's for sure. You can see just by the numbers, he ran a lot less than he did last year, and even, you know, in his early years, when he got injured, I remember after like 6 or 8 games or whatever. But, yeah, I know what you mean, and, you know, maybe this is perfect for Clemson as kind of just lingering, and then, bam, they put it all together, you know? Who knows? I think it'll be a tight game, though.
Yeah, and you got to imagine, I mean, to foreshadow a little bit, those Clemson guys would love another shot at Bama. I mean, it's not exactly what you're praying for, but it would be kind of cool to see a rematch. I can't recall off the top of my head. You probably have a better memory than me, my friend, but when was the last time we had a repeat possible national championship game in college football? I mean,
I remember Oklahoma and Miami and some teams making it, Florida State, some teams making it again, but to match them back up, it really wouldn't actually count because I could say Colorado and Notre Dame, but just because they played for a very meaningful part because, you know, it was before the BCS, so it's
true.
You know, you'd be playing opposite teams. But one of those opposite, you know, one of those teams that you play, the Notre Dame, Colorado, that comes to mind. So there are some of those things, but the way the bowl system was set up, you'd have 1 against 8 and 2 against 4 or 7. And so it would kind of mess it up. So I think that maybe it's happened like that before, but to me, you don't normally get it like that, you know?
And I guess to kind of wrap this up, Chris, and like I said, I look forward to seeing you. The holidays are the best part. It's been a nice break to come home from not teaching, and I love my kids I teach, but not seeing them for 2 weeks is kind of a nice break. I might have missed in this show, but do you like your Gophers and Hurricanes to win their bowl games this year? I've mentioned USC. Sadly, Mizzou had a very rough year, but do you like both of them to win, or if not, who do you think has a better chance to win, buddy?
I think Miami has a better chance, and I could see them winning. I just think that when you got 2 out of your top 3, and I've seen it on the field 4 separate times this year, and it happened to be in all the 4 losses. So what do you know? It didn't because the Wisconsin, 3 out of the 4. Yeah, I'm guessing Minnesota's going to lose. I just think that when you're facing the air raid situation where they're just going to do that, it's going to be tough not to cover all those wide receivers without your second and third best, and even that second, maybe our best one, Harden. So, but Miami, I could see winning, and I'd pick them to win, but I think the Gophers will lose.
Well, I look forward to watching the bowl games with you, buddy. We're finally getting to the point in the calendar now it's where we're going to be seeing teams that are no longer going to be 5-7 against a 6-6. Chris and I broke down today about 10 or 11 good matchups, and there's probably another 5 or 6 more if you kind of pick your way through it. So we're getting to the better part of the year. We will be back doing a show for the national preview. Chris and I both did pick Alabama against Ohio State. Ohio State, obviously, a very close call, but nonetheless, there's no guarantee that happens either. I mean, Bama is not immortal, and it would be one hell of a show to do if somehow Washington did the win as a 14-point dog. But Chris and I will be back. I hope everyone's had a great Christmas. Everyone has safe travels. We didn't do a crappy pick of the week this week because It's a bowl game, and that'd be kind of a slap in the face for some of those teams. And they were able to make it there. But enjoy the rest of your holidays. Enjoy watching college football. Make sure to keep listening. We do love all of our loyal listeners. We've been on, I think, year six now. So just
basketball is right around the corner.
Yeah, my Tar Heels are looking pretty good. And that kid from Monk out of Kentucky, someone's got to dig up some ACT scores on him with Calipari. Because if not, that kid, when you drop 49 on the Tar Heels and make it look easy, you get a little scared, buddy. So we definitely got some college hoops to discuss. And I hope your Golden Gophers get a victory tonight on the football field or on the basketball court, either one. But yeah, I'm just in a good mood because it is the holidays, so enjoy the time with your family, watch football, drink some beer, and Chris and I'll be back soon. Have a good day. Peace.